Today kicks off a series of very special solemnities in our church. The Ascension Sunday today, Pentecost next Sunday, bringing to a conclusion the Easter season. It always seems to me that Lent goes so much slower than the Easter season, but they're really about the same amount of days. And then we go back into ordinary time, and as we begin ordinary time, we have the Holy Trinity in Corpus Christi. And all of these being at this time and being right behind the other are very important because they together help us to realize what our mission is. But they also help us to realize where our mission comes from and how we are to live it and where we get the strength to live it. Our mission comes from God. And it is the mission that leads us through this world back to God so that we can be with Him for eternity in heaven. We are fed by Himself, giving us His strength in the Holy Eucharist, giving us the fortitude to accomplish this with the other sacraments as well. So we begin these celebrations of these weeks with the Ascension, the fact that Christ has risen. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's not something that is going to happen one day. It happens now. Throughout this Easter season, we've been reading from the Acts of the Apostles. But today, as we're getting very close to bringing the Easter season to a conclusion, we go to the beginning of the Acts, the book that was written by Luke following immediately upon his gospel. The apostles have been given their mission. They are to go and to baptize, go into the whole world and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Their mission, but it is also our mission. For 40 days, Christ walked with his apostles after his resurrection, appearing with them and being with them in a very special way. But they were still not understanding. So they ask him today, Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But Jesus doesn't chastise them for not understanding, but he chastises them for wanting to know when. It is not for you to know the time or the seasons the Father has established. So we see from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit has been very active in his church and continues to be active, building the kingdom of God. Not an ethnic kingdom, not a kingdom that is going to be confined by the boundaries of any one nation, but a kingdom that is for the Israelites and for the pagans, open to the Gentiles as well as the Jews, and a kingdom that is going to go to the ends of the earth. Then after telling them this, Jesus is raised up on a cloud. And this cloud is important because for the Israelite people, for the apostles, it would have reminded them of all the times when God revealed himself to them in a cloud. When the cloud came down upon the apostles at the transfiguration. When the cloud came down upon Moses when he received the Ten Commandments. The cloud that led the Israelite people through the desert for 40 years. Again and again, God shows himself in this cloud. So the cloud comes down today and takes Jesus away from the apostles. But it is not a physical separation, but rather, as Pope Emeritus Benedict tells us, it is a metaphysical separation. A change in a dimension of being. In God's dominion over time and space, Jesus goes and enters into this very special relationship. But it is important for us as well because he takes our humanity into that relationship with God. So that we can get a taste of that here while we wait for the fullness of it when we are in heaven with him. We see this, but the apostles still grasp it. We have the advantage of 2,000 years plus of study, of commentary. But the apostles were living it, having it presented to them for the very first time. And so they're standing around, just looking up at the sky where Jesus had been taken from them. And all of a sudden, there's these two angels standing with them. Men of Galilee, what are you doing? You can't just stand around doing nothing. There's work to be done. You've been given your mission. This Jesus who has been taken from you, he will return in power and glory. But until then, there's work to be done. Go and preach the good news, the gospel, to all the world, telling them what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus had taught them so much during his 40 days after his resurrection, but they were still dependent upon him. So he tells them of the signs that he would accomplish through them, driving out demons, speaking new languages, picking up serpents. No poison will affect them. Laying their hands on the sick, and they will recover. It is not that the disciples are going to do these things in their own power, in their own authority, but as Jesus Christ was going to continue to work through them. It will be the power of Christ at work in the world until he comes again. This is how he can be with us always. Another contradiction of our faith. How Christ leaves, but yet is more intimate and more present than ever before. And this is a mystery that we continue to immerse ourselves in, learning what it means for us here today. So as we celebrate this feast, I think why is kind of a good question to ask. Why did God do it this way? Why didn't he, after he rose from the dead, why didn't he just appear to everyone? Why didn't he go to the leaders of the Jewish faith, the leaders of the Israelite people? Why didn't he go to the leaders of the Roman people and just show himself in just this overpowering show of force? So they would have absolutely no questions, no qualms, no doubts that the one that they had crucified, the one that they had tried to do away with, defeated them and defeated death. But that isn't what God wants, and that isn't how he works. He doesn't want slaves. He wants love. He desires an interior change, a conversion of our hearts, rather than simple obedience to an external force. And he accomplishes this through the gift of his Holy Spirit. It is through the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit that we will live this out, that we will build his kingdom. But we have to cooperate with those. It's not enough just to receive them in our baptism and in confirmation. We have to allow them to take root. We have to feed them. We have to water them, allow them to grow in our hearts. We do this through the Eucharist, through confession, through marriage and holy orders, confession and anointing. But first, we have to know the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have to know what they are and how they work. Wisdom, opening the mind to God. Understanding, opening the heart. Counsel, helping us to know right from wrong, and especially to make these decisions in difficult situations. Fortitude, giving us the endurance and the strength of the martyrs, and offering inspiration. Knowledge, letting us see the world from God's perspective, so that we can see everything from his point of view rather than ours, and to help others when their vision may be clouded. Piety, helping us to see our utter dependence on God. In the fear of the Lord, opening us to the wonder, to the glory, to the awe of God and all his works. Not to become slaves, but to enter into this grateful realization that only in him do we have true peace in our hearts. And this sets the foundations of our relationship with God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we have to work at building that relationship too. And we do that through lives of service with each other, announcing the gospel through our lives, building his kingdom. We see this in a clearer way when, if you ever had the opportunity to celebrate the Mass in Latin, it was kind of a bad interpretation at the end where we say the Mass is ended, go in peace. Really, the interpretation, or in Latin, it is ite, missa est. It is an instruction to go. You've just been fed with the liturgy of the Eucharist, with the liturgy of the Word. Now it's time to go into the world, to be my ambassadors, to be my apostles, my prophets, my priests, my pastors, my teachers, to be the bread that is broken for a hungry world. To do these things, we begin to enjoy the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these and more, they're there. And they're there for the taking, because they are gifts that God simply wants to pour out upon his people, freely given to his sons and daughters. They are there for us because of the ascension, where Christ has taken our humanity into heaven and is there for us. And that is why the ascension is so important. Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, as I said, not at some point down the road, but today, here, now, he is there. showering the entire world with His love, with His grace, with His peace, giving us everything that we need to build His kingdom until the day He returns in power and glory.